again, a blessing to be back on the
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are here super excited about what we are going to learn today on A Wise Witness with Gerald Jones. How many of us have heard the quote, caring is sharing? Well, there is truth to that statement. A heart led by the truth of God's word will move you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is caring. Remember Romans 10:9 through 10 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and in is with your mouth that you profess your faith and be saved. This share movement is called the plan of salvation. So Pastor Gerald Jones and I, Carnita Smith, will continue in the movement A Wise Witness. And Pastor Jones's focus is on how to share the plan of salvation. So I pray that you will come prepared with your Bible, your tablet or your cell phone, and paper to take good notes as Pastor Jones continues to propel us forward in this movement, A Wise Witness. And he will show us and educate us and move us through the scriptures on how to share the plan of salvation. So thank you again for being faithful to the broadcast and faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he continues to blossom this broadcast and especially grow you to go in grace. So Pastor Jones, if we could just continue to just get moving in this lesson. And I just want to thank you again for being a faithful witness as well as a faithful steward of the Holy Spirit leading you to do this broadcast. So thank you again for just bringing us forward as we move in the direction that God wants us to go. So Pastor Jones, if you could introduce yourself again to the to those that are listening to this broadcast on the World Wide Web.
I'm very grateful and thankful for how God has allowed our path to cross, Sister Smith, and especially to that God has allowed us to go over this international web site to actually speak not only to our local congregation and to our local family and friends, but internationally, we look. Thank God for the World Wide Web that we can go around the world with the gospel. And I count it all joy that He allows us to go through things, to go into things, and to come out with a testimony. And so tonight, I'm going to just reiterate the fact how important it is for us to be a witness, and that when God saves us and when he brings us to the light, it is our responsibility to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and guidance of God to share the word of God and the testimony of God with other people. And we've already said that what qualifies us is not our charisma, is not our ability to memorize scriptures, and it's not our ability to eloquently speak, but it's the powerful power of God that has changed us and saved us, that qualifies us to be a witness. And Jesus promised that we would be a witness. He promised us the Holy Spirit would not only come upon us, but would come within us and come through us to other people. For the reason of convincing people who God is, who Jesus is, and who the power of the Holy Spirit, it will convict people so that not only will their eyes be open, their hearts will be palatable, and they would be able to actually feel the power of God, but then ultimately to convert us, and that person's and life would be ultimately transformed and changed. And so we've talked about the importance of witness, and we've talked about the qualification, and God let us talk about the different approaches, and we observe even the Lord Jesus himself and how he approached people like the Samaritan woman and how others approached people to witness, how Peter approached people and how Paul approached people. I'm just kind of wanting to kind of highlight that we've talked about the direct and the indirect way of witnessing to people. And then what I'm excited about is that we can, after we lead somebody to Jesus Christ by the grace of God, we can follow up with them. And even when we are unsuccessful with leading somebody to Christ, when we don't actually lead them to Christ, we lead them to a place where they will make a decision at some later date, we can be excited that we can follow up with those people. We can go back and check with them and not try to get another notch on our belt that we won somebody to Christ, but that we have allowed the Holy Spirit to actually do his work of saving somebody. Not our forcefulness, but our faithfulness is what brings about God's favor and fruitfulness upon our soul winning. As I look forward to tonight, I think it's our fifth time coming, I want to address some things that I've used, and not only me, but the people that instructed me, taught me, again, my birth church, where we were taught the Romans role, we were taught how to let God come through us with the scriptures, and when people are on street corners, in dining facilities, in places of nursing homes and schools, and we witnessed all over the place with the Romans role. So tonight I want to share that. I shared with you that God allowed me to be a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, where I was taught about the four spiritual laws, which includes God loves you, all are sinners, and that if a person would repent and that if they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God has saved us, that there be that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and we could be saved. And then lastly, that if a person would actually receive Christ, they would be saved. So those are things that I learned. I talked about the ABC of salvation, admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus is the Savior, and then C, confessing him as your personal Savior. There may be some other ways that we can share our testimony that would cause somebody to want to be saved, because truly our testimony is, I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I was no good. I was good for nothing, but God thought enough to die so I could become good for something, and that something is that I could be used by him to give him glory and give him praise. So So I was good for nothing. I'm good for something, and eventually he will reward me in the future. So salvation has three parts, our past, our present, and our glorious future. We're looking forward to when Jesus shall step out in the midst of the air, and the dead in Christ is raised, and we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We anticipate, we hope for that. If that happens before I die, before this spirit and this soul leaves this body, what a joy it will be to see our Lord stepping out in the midst of the air. These are things that I'm excited about as a Christian, to know that I have hope in the coming of Christ. But tonight, if we would turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 4, and I want to read a verse that I've heard time and time again, and sometimes maybe you've read it, and sometimes maybe you have meditated over this scripture. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12 reads like this: "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And in the context of this, the name is Jesus. There's no other salvation. There's no other way other than through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if a person tries to climb up any other way, he's no more than a thief and a robber. But in this passage, we can learn one simple lesson, is that it's through Jesus Christ. And he proved that we could trust him because he showed his ultimate love for us by coming into this earth and dying on the cross. So for one of the facts that we must share with people when we are witnessing and sharing the plan of salvation, which is most important, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe there's a lot of people know that verse, believers and non-believers, Christians, Muslims, Buddhism, Hinduism. I believe that a lot of people that have read the Bible, they probably have memorized that scripture, and they've heard it, and they may even be able to quote it. But the fact is that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And Jesus showed his love to this world by dying on the cross for each and every one of us. It's an eternal fact that God loves you. Some people haven't woke up to the fact that he loves them, but he still loves them. They don't see the magnitude of his love. They don't really get it all the time. But you need to be passionate, and you need to be patient. I like to say that again. You need to be passionate, but you also need to be patient and know that God is at work proving his love, or continuing to allow people to see his so great love for God, eternal God, creator God, loving God, powerful God, all-knowing God, all-present God. He so loved the world. And the Bible says that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no other that he gave. No other individual could do. I mean, there were prophets that came before. There were kings that came before. There are many others that came before Jesus physically on this earth. But none perfect, none was sinless, none was able to do the redemptive, completely redemptive work that God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, did for us. Jesus Christ was made that which he hated, that you and I might become that he loves. He was made sin that we might become right and righteous. And when I say right, I don't mean that we do everything the right way, but we are made the righteousness in Christ Jesus. And because of God's love for us, and he exchanged, he put himself on the cross, and we've been taught about propitiation. So he took on sin for us, and then he reconciled the world, brought the world back to God through his death and burial and resurrection. And by the end product, we are redeemed. We have been saved. And that work is still working. God has never stopped loving us. Man, I'm excited about that. God is a fact that God loves us. And we have to allow his love to not only come through our mouths, but through our lifestyle. We got to let him come through our being and really show forth his love to other people, because that's what they are looking for. Before a person can really turn to God, they're going to possibly see him in somebody that loves God more than they love themselves. To witness to somebody, you have to overcome yourself and love that individual more than you love yourself. You got to become selfless and less selfish. You can do it. We can do it. It's the greatest thing that we can do is share that God loves us. Now, so that would be my first point. The next point I would like to talk about is when you're sharing this, of course you know Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is another verse. John 3:16, the first verse. Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. Sister Smith, can you read that for me?
Sure. Romans 3, verse 23. And it reads this way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Can you read? It tells us that all have sinned. And I love the word all in the Bible, because it includes everybody and excludes nobody. All means all, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, whether it's English or Chinese. All means all. And God loves all of us. And all of us are born with a nature to do wrong rather than right. We are all sinners. I don't care how morally we good we look on the outside, inside we were born with a nature to say no to God and yes to ourselves. But he also, when he saves us, he gives us that yes and amen. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that sin is a word that we are hearing less and less of in not only the world, of course. We don't hear very much about the word sin. But even in the church, it's hard, you hardly hear sometimes people preaching and actually calling sin, sin. We'll say people error, made a mistake, they are human, they are, you know, we use a lot of words instead of sin. But sin is a word that needs to be made clear. It is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Tells us that sin is lawlessness. Right in that same 1 John in the 5th chapter and the 10th verse, it tells us that sin is unbelief. It calls God a liar. Sin is active rebellion. When you look in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 1 and verse number 2, you'll see rebellion against God. You'll see even where sin is not only rebellion against God, sin is passive rebellion, not only active rebellion, where somebody actually do something wrong, but then it's passive in rebellion. Well, we kind of case our eyes to that and do something we want to do. All unrighteousness, 1 John 5 and 17 say, is sin. And guess what? God cannot lie. All have sinned. And so if a person say they have not sinned, they just sin. If they say that they've never done nothing wrong, they just did something wrong. You know, because we all have sinned. I don't want to belabor that in this conversation, but I just want to let us know that we all are, because of our first father, because of the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve. You know, Eve was deceived, the Bible says in Timothy, Corinthians. But then it also tells us that Adam willfully disobeyed God. And maybe I need to just turn to that quickly here, where it tells us that. I'm gonna move on because I can't find it right now. But I'm going to get back to that because it's a scripture that I really want to present, that because Adam was given opportunity to live in a innocent, sinless environment, but he was given a restriction of not touching or not eating from the tree. And when Eve did it, the Bible says she gave it to him, but he still willfully disobeyed, and he then became the father of sin. And we know that came from the deception of the devil. It came from the rebellion against God in heaven by Lucifer. We know we can point it back to him, but still Adam had a will, and he sinned. The next point that I really want to bring up here is that not only does God love us, not only are we born with a nature to do wrong, that we are sinners, but the next verse that I want to talk about is what we're going to do with this situation that we find ourselves in, called the sin situation. It's a fact that we are now dead in sin. Romans chapter number 6 and 23. Do you have that one, Sister Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
Romans 6.
We have sin. That's an issue. Go ahead.
Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
We all have sin. We already said that. But there's a price for sin. The price is the wages of sin is death. Spiritual separation from God is death. And if a person never repents between the birthday and their physical death day, they will die in their sin and will find out they will be in the second death where they will burn in hell forever and ever. There's another word that people don't use very much anymore talking about hell, unless it's in a different connotation. But we want to make it clear, the wages of sin is death. Death is a spiritual separation from God. And when we sinned, when Adam sinned, we all became sinners. And our sin separated us from God. But guess what? Because of that, we also will have a physical separation from the body. The soul and the spirit will be separated from the spirit and soul will be separated from the body. That's why we die. When a person physically dies, it is the direct result of spiritual disobedience and sin and a spiritual death. It's an eternal thing. Again, if the person has never accepted Christ as their Savior, they're going to eternally be separated from God. This is a message you will have to convey to people, even though it may be offensive to them, even though they may not believe you. They may not want to hear that from you, that they are going to be eternally separated because of Adam, because they don't want to accept, they may not want to accept that. If they don't, it still remains true. Death is can be an eternal separation if a person has not accepted Christ. If you remain lost, if a person remains lost till they physically die, in hell will they lift up their eyes. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I'm going rather slow tonight because I do have the time to talk about this, and I want to make it really crystal clear. God loves us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages or the cost of sin is death. But look at the latter part of that verse, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's a gift that we have because of Jesus, and it's eternal life instead of eternal death. We will live eternally with God because of Jesus' death on the cross physically. We are able to have a spiritual life. And you say, well, what about the people before Jesus came on the earth? They looked to the cross. Well, what about the people after Jesus died? We look back at the cross. So we are people that have the historical facts that a man was born of a virgin, that he lived on planet earth for the sole purpose of dying on the cross. And he gave up his life physically so that we could live life eternally. He was the only God-man, not the only a man of God. He was the only God-man. We call it the hypostatic union. He was as much God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he was as much man as any man that ever walked the face of the earth. The uniqueness about this man, he was born sinless. He was born of a virgin. He was born as God's Holy Spirit touched the womb of a woman by the name of Mary. This is what we believe. And certainly when you're witnessing the people, there will be people that will not accept this. But the fact is that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The next fact I want to talk about, look, Sister Smith, can you turn to Romans? This is another one in the Romans roll. Romans chapter number 5, verses 6 through 8. I love this passage of Scripture.
Sure. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
This is so good. When we were, as in the old days, we used to say, when you were hooking and crooking, when you were dipping and diving, when you were partying and having fun, when you were living life the rally of it all, you were enjoying the world. Old people used to say, well, after you had gone over Fool's Hill, acting crazy, full of ignorant odds, marijuana and dope, when you were full of crack cocaine, when you was a dope dealer, pimp pusher, prostitute, when you were in the way you were going towards eternal separation, God still made a way for you to come back to the light. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love the way Isaiah put it. I want to read that. Isaiah tells us in the 53rd chapter, he says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now look at what happened. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I love verse number 6. It said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He made a way. I could preach right now if it was preaching time. He made a way out of no way. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And guess what? It was all because we needed a Savior like Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it's a fact that But it's a fact that you got to make a decision. You have to make a crucial decision. You're going to have to become saved. That word saved means delivered. That means freedom. It means getting out of the path that leads to destruction and eternal death and accepting the life and eternal life. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, the thief came but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's in John chapter number 10, verse number 10, where it gives you that good news. But the fact is that you can be saved by faith. I love reading Ephesians chapter number 2, where it says, for by grace, chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. We were saved, and we are saved to share our faith, but it was a gift of God. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We can't do anything to keep it. It's unmerited. It was given to us by God. We are saved by God's amazing grace. Sister Smith, do you have Acts chapter number 16, verse 30 and 31?
Yes, Acts 16.
Acts chapter number 16. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Acts 16, verse 30.
Yes, ma'am. 30 and 31.
30 and 31 in the NIV.
Okay.
They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. I'm sorry, let me back
okay.
down to 30.
Yeah, I want you to go ahead on and read all the way to 34.
Okay. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and told all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates set their officers to the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men.
Hold it right there. Well, I that's a whole nother message. But the blessing is that
Amen.
Paul and Silas in the jailhouse was praying and singing. And whenever you get in a situation where you just don't know how you're going to get out, even if you don't pray audibly, you ought to pray within. Even if you don't know all the words to the song, how great is our God, you ought to just hum the song. But these old men, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang, and the prisoners were listening to them. And even the jailer was living. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. That was some kind of prayer going on. That was a prayer meeting in prison that freed the prisoners. And
Amen.
It shook, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. The power of a praying Christian can loose the chains of those that are us bound. And what we have to know is when we are praying, fasting, and singing, and getting ourselves ready to be used by God, when we're witnessing to somebody and telling them the fact that they can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we have to expect things that we haven't seen before. The person that you're talking to, you have to believe that that individual is going to be saved. You have to have faith in God to see that person through the darkness to the light, from going to hell to going to heaven, from going backward to going forward, from going down to going up. I'm just sorry, it's a preacher in me. Want to tell you that it is a fact that a person can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to overcome our fears, and we have to allow God, the faith we have in God, to lead somebody to Christ. And this is a very important verse or passage of scripture to give them, because once that those things happen in the jail, the Bible says that Paul and Silas saw the man getting ready to kill himself, because he knew that if all these guys got out of jail, his head was on the chopping block. And the keeper of the prison woke up out of from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword to kill himself, to kill himself. And but Paul, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Nobody got out. And he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Man, when God is at work, God will bring people to you, not to honor, not so much to honor or worship you, but to worship the power of God working through you. And Paul said and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" He asked the question that when a person get to that place in their life that they can't handle anything anymore, they may ask that simple question, okay, how do I become a Christian? Or how do I become saved? How can I get out of this hole that I'm in? How can I get out of this downward direction I'm going? How can I stop this? And how can I get rid of this handicap, this habit I got? And Paul said, they said to him, and I like this, it says, they said, they were in unity, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." My God, when God saves one, he can save another. And when he saves another, he can save another. He can keep on saving if we just get out of ourselves and allow him to do what he's doing when he's working on people. The next fact is that a person can be saved and know it. This is something that happens to a lot of people. Can you read that scripture real quickly, Sister Smith? 1 John 5:10-3.
Sure. 1 John 5:10-3. All righty. 1 John 5:3. Grace. Am I in the right?
1 John. Chapter number 5, verse number 10 through 13. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm in the right spot now. And it reads this way. "Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Wow.
Wow.
And that
Amen.
You may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. And
Amen.
That you may continue to believe that you have eternal life. This is what happens to Christians. Sometimes when we become a Christian, we become discouraged, we become despondent, we become depressed, and sometimes we just get to the place we don't even believe we are Christians anymore. And I'm more than sure that when you're witnessing the people, you need to have confidence that you know. And it's nothing wrong with saying, I know. Your knowledge is based on the infallible, inerrant, and authority or authenticity of the Word of God. It's infallible. It cannot be destroyed. We can destroy everything around us, but the eternal Word of God is forever. It will never pass away. The other fact is that it is an error. There's no error in the Word of God. It's a book without error. Now, I know people will say, well, there's some theologians that believe this and that. And there are. But the Bible in its entirety is not wrong. It is without error. And then lastly, it is authentic. It's real. It is authoritative. And that's what gives us the confidence to say, I know from when I was to where I am. I'm going to give this that you need to know that you are a child of God. You need to know that you have been passed from death unto life. You need to know that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to know that. And one of my favorite scriptures is where in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 20, it says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that verse. It's kind of one of my main verses in my life verses. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another verse that I love is Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if I'm living on this side, it's Jesus Christ living through me. If I die and I have to go to the other side before the second coming of Christ into the midst of the air, I'm still good because I'm going to be with Christ. So I don't lose. It's a win-win once you accept Christ as your Savior. We have about 10 minutes left. Can you give me that last verse Sister Smith, in Acts chapter number 5, where we'll talk about the fact that you are a child of God now, and since you're a Christian, we ought to live an obedient and yielded life for Christ's sake.
And that's Acts 5, verse 29?
Yes, ma'am.
But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
And I'm going to just read a little bit further, the 22nd verse. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand of to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So if I'm a Christian, the next thing is that I obey him. And the fact is, when you're sharing with people about Jesus Christ and they accept him as their Savior, and they have the confidence to say and the assurance that they know they've been changed. And when I got saved on that hospital step, when I prayed the sinner's prayer and said, Lord, Jesus, dope don't give me peace inside, drinking don't satisfy, running around don't pacify, Lord, going to church is not enough. When I prayed, Lord, I want to be saved, not because my mom is dying with cancer, not because the preacher wants me to join his church. Lord, I want to be saved because I want my life to be different than the way it was going. And I said that prayer in sincerity, Lord, come into my heart and save me. When I prayed that prayer, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again. I believe that. I was taught and I was brought up in the Catholic Church, so I knew about God. I knew about Jesus Christ. I knew about the Holy Spirit. I knew about church and church life, but I had not accepted or received him as my Savior. And at that point, I know I prayed this prayer to accept Christ as my Savior. And you're going to come to the point with a person when you have shared these principles and these scriptures with them that they are going to be ready to accept Christ. And I feel that somebody's going to accept him through this gospel message tonight, that they're ready to accept Christ. And all they will have to do is have a believing heart and a confessing mouth. And so, Smith, it's just about time up. And I want you to let me just pray with them right now and have them that are not saved accept the fact God loves you, accept the fact that God, that we are sinners, and that accept the fact that the wages of sin is death and separate eternal separation from God. Accept the fact that God commended his love towards us in that while we were going the wrong way, while we were sinners, he died for us that we might be saved. Accept the fact that you have to have faith in God, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Accept the fact that God not only can save us, but he did save us. And now it's our opportunity to obey him in our Christian life. Father, I'm praying right now, Heavenly Father, that those that are hearing and those that have come to the point in their life to say I'm a sinner, admit with you, agree with you that they are a sinner, that they are born with a nature to do wrong, that they would except that you are a Savior, that you sent your only begotten Son to save all sinners, and that, God, that tonight they would accept the fact that when he died, the blood of Jesus was poured out so that all can be saved. For by the shedding of blood, there's remission of sin. God, I pray tonight that someone would confess with their mouth as they believe in their heart that Jesus is the Savior and accept him. The Bible, Lord, you said in your word, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become the sons or the children of God. Someone wants to obey and accept you. I pray for the believers that are listening to this testimony and to this radio station, that the believers will be strengthened in their faith. They will be motivated. They will be encouraged. They will be excited to witness to a family member, to witness to a friend, to witness to an enemy, somebody that don't even want to accept Christ, and to let your word work on them to have passion and patience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, Pastor Jones, I just sensed and felt the passion that you have for being a wise witness. I tell you, if you did not feel this or hear it in his voice as he brought this broadcast, this lesson on sharing the plan of salvation to the lost, I tell you, you really need to revisit this broadcast later at your private study time and pray before you listen to it again, because it so resonates through these airwaves from his heart, and it's just what he is expressing that we are to do, is to allow the love of God resonate through us so that they can see Jesus Christ in us, that they would want to know, what must I do to be saved? This is our mission, and this should be a passion of ours as well. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. There was a artist that Pastor Jones wanted to share with us. And who was that artist that you made mention to me, Pastor Jones?
Babbie Mason.
Babbie Mason. And her name is spelled B like in boy, B-A-B-B-I-E. And her last name is Mason, M-A-S-O-N. And what was the selection on her album that you want?
The song says, each one win one. Each one,
yes,
win
I believe,
one.
If I believe that. Each one reach one. And
yeah,
you can Google
one.
That or you can listen to it on YouTube, but I do have the lyrics up.
Yes.
Would you like me to read those? Let me read those. Would that be okay, Pastor Jones?
Yes, please.
Okay. And this is Babbie Mason, and the title of this particular song is Each One, Reach One. And I encourage you to locate it on YouTube or Google it and just allow it to resonate in your heart, soul, and just listen to what the lyrics say. Tonight, a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior, and together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away or door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you, so you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows that each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. And together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we can each reach one, so will you go and labor. Will you hold high your light one by one and two by two? We can win our world for Jesus Christ, and each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior, and together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way if we each one reach one. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you to listen to that song on your cell phone or on your tablet or on your laptop. And you Google that song or listen to it on YouTube. Oh, my goodness. If it ministered to Pastor Jones' heart as well as mine, it will do the same for you. Well, this brings us to the end of this broadcast. Oh, my goodness. I thank you so much for being so faithful to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, as well as A Wise Witness with Pastor Gerald Jones. And we will meet again at this same hour on next Thursday at this same time. And I encourage you to share this ministry with someone in your circle of influence, whether it be a friend, family, or even a coworker. Lead them to this broadcast. Thank you again, and always remember that the flowers fadeth, and the grass wither and the flowers fadeth, but you know that the word of God will stand and remain forever. Thank you again for being so faithful.